station on 2.
Go ahead on 2.
Yeah, Uwe, just wondering, given the question about the Relax Pro, if you want me to go ahead with that data transfer that's on my schedule right now, or if you just want me to wait and collect an extra day of data.
And Jessica, we have no final feedback from the PI yet, so as discussed in the morning DPC, we would prefer just going ahead with the data transfer as per timeline. And then we will see potentially later that day, or we will let you know through the daily summary input how we will proceed with that.
Okay, sounds good, and, you know, very happy to accommodate that over the weekend, too. You know, I could have it on for 12 hours during the day and do another session. Always happy to do some relaxing for, in the name of science, for ESA.
Thanks a lot. You have basically the whole weekend to relax, so we will take note of that.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Uwe. Next station on 2 for SmartWatch.
Go ahead on 2.
Yeah, I'm at 22% syncing.
Copy that. You can continue with the data transfer as procedure.
Go.
Москвы, МКС, ВСБ-2, по сепарации.
ВСБ-2, Андрей, я тебя хорошо слышу. Как меня слышно, ВСБ-2?
Да, отлично, тоже принимаю. Да, отлично.
Замечательно. Ну, Артем здесь на месте сидит, ему тебе как бы ничего такого дополнительно говорить не надо, поэтому какие есть доклады по радиограмме? Выходи, докладывай.
Да, хорошо, принял. Сейчас начинаю работать по радиограмме.
Все, до связи.
До связи.
Looking on 2, Jessica, if you'll come over to space to ground 4, we'll get out of the way of Andre and our Russian colleagues.
Yeah, meet you on 4. Houston, station on 2, Sophie for CTLS.
With you on 2, Sophie.
I just was wondering if I could do right away the power cycle of the PTLS. The activity is supposed to start in 10 minutes, but just wanted to know if I can start now.
And Sophie, this is Hansel. Yeah, you can go ahead and get started.
Copy. Thanks, Hansel, for the answer. So I'll start now.
Отвечаем ВСГ-2. На связи, Артем.
Артем, добрый день. Значит, выполнил пункт шаги 1.1.1.2.1.3. Значит, по замене ЕДВ с одной на другую замечаний нет. 14.83 пустая, там ничего нет. Ну, остатки есть, конечно, ну там это в миллилитрах, так скажем. И 14.81, которая установлена сейчас, цвет соответствует норме, так скажем, темный. Вот. Ничего нет. Дальше приступаю к включению пункта.
Приняли информацию, еще приблизительно удалось оценить объем жидкости в 14.81.
Ну, она практически полная, там, наверное, 20 литров точно есть. Ну, может быть, там 1-1,5 литра, может быть, до полной прям была бы она. В общем, 20-21 литр, я бы так сказал.
Да, принято, хорошо, спасибо. Можем приступать к выполнению шага 2.
Хорошо. Ну и фотография там, которую ЕДВ сделаем, потом после работы скину. Запускаю МКС, ВСГ-2 по сепарации. Выполнил промывку контура урины. Замечаний нет.
Отвечаем. ВСГ-2 принято. Можешь продолжать дальше.
Продолжаем. Так, выполнил пуск.
Принято. Ожидаем выхода на дистилляцию. Ну и после дистилляции, выхода на дистилляцию, у нас будет доклад датчиков.
Да, принял. Как пройдет, доложу.
Да.
Hansel, station on 2, Sophie for PLTS.
Hey, Sophie, we are with you on 2. Are you looking to get started on the next part?
I'm ready to power the PLTS on.
And you have a go to power it on.
Copy that.
Цупорскую МКС, ВСГ-2, по дистилляции.
2.
Артем, значит, вышел на режим дистилляции. Сейчас продиктую датчики показания.
Тогда можно сравнивать с радиограммой и доложить отличия, если они будут.
Хорошо, принял. Отличий не вижу.
Принято, хорошо. Тогда возвращаемся обратно на экран в автоматический режим. Вставляем систему работать до перезапуска. Через приблизительно 4,5 часа у нас будет перезапуск второго цикла. Затем уже оставляем систему еще работать, и во время промежуточного контроля нужно будет систему.
Да, хорошо,
во время промежуточного контроля мы еще раз там проверяем нештатные установки, если есть, а уже отключаем систему во время заключительной операции.
Да, хорошо, принял.
Спасибо вам за работу и хорошего дня.
Накладочка была.
На этом я с вами прощаюсь. Говорю спасибо вам за работу и хорошего дня.
Да, спасибо большое, Артем. На связи.
Station on 2, Sophie for Vlasper.
Sophie, go ahead on 2. Munich is with you.
Thank you. So, yeah, just as a heads up, I'm not able to start the second procedure now because the first syncing procedure is still syncing, so it's kind of slow. It's now 86%, but as soon as it's done, I'll jump into the next one. And for now, I will go, while it's syncing, start the HTV cargo up. So I'll delay the second procedure for RelaxPro.
Sophie, we copy you. Thanks a lot. That's a good data point.
You're welcome, Uwe.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for any available USOS crew member.
Houston, Space Ground 2, looking for some HTV X1 stowage big picture words. I have a couple questions.
Chris, we're with you on 2, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're looking at these HTVX stowage steps, and there's a lot of steps to sort of temp stow 10.0s and fill them with RSTs, and I think the easiest solution is to put the 10.0s in their final locations and fill them with RSTs in place. Just moving and sort of properly relocating a 10.0 when it's full is a pretty big barrier. So I'm trying to just wrap my head around stow track and figure out what 10.0s end up in what locations. And in particular, I was wondering if you could help me out with the final list of 10.0s that live in Lab 1 Starboard 4. I think that location can handle 3 10.0s that are filled with RSTs, and I wasn't sure exactly which 3 are there. And then I'm assuming the other ones end up in the PMM, but I was just trying to suss that out. It's just kind of hard to tell with the format that StowTrack comes up with.
Chris, we copy all. We're going to need some time to get those big picture words to you, so please be patient with us. Thanks.
Copy that. Yeah, what would be super helpful is just a list of, like, these are the 10.0s ending up in Lab 1S4, and these are the RSTs that are in them. These are the 10.0s that end up in PMM or wherever else they end up, and these are the water tanks in them, just so we can sort of put them in their final places and get stuff to the right spot.
We copy, and we'll work it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Next station on 2 for smartwatch.
Go ahead on 2.
Uwe, all my files are imported, and I have a battery percentage of 56.56%. I paused at the power down steps just in case you guys have heard back from the PI of one or other or not. I should leave it on.
And Jessica, thanks a lot. For now, we prefer that you shut it down, and as I said, we will come back to you if we have a newer plan for that.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and power down. Thank you.
You're welcome. Station Munich on 2 for Jessica and an answer on RelaxPro.
Head on 2.
Jessica, while we were talking, in parallel we got feedback from the PI. So besides this short interruption of data, we will continue nominally, so there is no need in redoing a session, so we will keep it in the timeline as it was originally planned. So all good, you can shut down the watch and we continue with the experiment as foreseen.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Say hello to Francesco for me.
Thanks a lot.
Phoenix Station, Sophie on 2 for FSL.
Sophie, for this activity, we previously agreed with Capcom to move over to Space to Ground 3 to release Space to Ground 2. So can we meet on 3?
Sure.
Station Munich on 2 for Sophie. We are back on 2. Sorry for that. KU were lost a little bit earlier than expected.
Sophie on two. Did you get my question?
Negative. KU was already down. Sorry for that.
Okay. So my question is for step 1.2 of procedure 2.391 SSL facility core element locking during operations. It says to torque captive launch bolt 4. And just wanted to make sure that those 4 are the CEM lower module. Because otherwise with the Velcro kit, there are now 8 that are visible.
And Sophie, that's a good catch. Actually, you have in total 8 bolts, so 2 for each location, but you should torque 1 for each location. So that's actually the idea behind. So 1 bolt torquing per each location.
Okay, good copy. And so which one do you want me to torque, like the upper one or the lower one, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. You can take any.
Okay, so maybe for future operations, we could update this procedure for future operators.
Thanks a lot, Sophie. Notice taken.
Thank you. Meaning station M2, Sophie for FSO. Yeah, so quick question about the procedure. You confirmed that I only need to remove the AVM, the lower bottom one, and the lower left and lower right, right? Not the top ones.
And Sophie, that's correct.
Okay, but just also to make sure I did the right thing, I locked in both the bottom one and the top one. The previous step for the launch fixation bolts. So just to summarize what I did. Launch fixation bolts, I did screw in lock with 35-inch pounds, the top facility element and the bottom one by only having one bolt locked. And then I removed the anti-vibration mechanism just for the bottom one.
And Sophie, that's totally correct. Thanks a lot for that summary.
Okay, good. And I see in our timeline that we'll start operations at 12:25. I'd be interested in starting a bit earlier, if it's possible, just to make sure in case there is some delays for whatever operation delay, we start earlier.
And Sophie, that's actually a good proposal. Thanks a lot for offering that. Yes, you can start early. We will get camera coverage a little bit later, but that doesn't matter. So just let us know when you are starting, and then we can activate the camera for the over-the-shoulder view.
Okay, great. So I think I'll be ready to start at noon, 12.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. And while I have you, coming back to a previous report from you, do you have an update for us on the syncing status of the smartwatch? Because we were a little bit wondering that it takes that long.
Yeah, so syncing is done, and now the files are importing with the second procedure that has been started, and it is still in progress.
Thanks a lot, Sophie. That's good
news. I see that the process is still 0%, so maybe I need to close and reopen the Everywhere app.
Thanks, Sophie. That might really help.
Scuba Station, this is Jack on 2. I'm ready for you to come on board with the Node 2 Cam 1 video.
Hi, Jack. This is ATVX Flight on Space to Ground 2. We have the view, and we're now checking the view.
Copy HTV Flight. You understand you guys are happy with the view, and I'm ready to hop into the next steps if you guys want to get started a few minutes early.
Back. This is Tuba, back with you on Space to Ground 2. So we are ready for step 1 of the procedure. Can you give us the initial condition of IOU B1 and A1 for the toggle switch status and the dimmer status?
Copy and work. From station on 2 with the position of the switches.
Go ahead, Jack. We're ready to copy.
A1 switch is in the on position and the dimmer status is at 100%. B1 switch is in the off position, and the dimmer is at about 75% on.
Jack, Scuba on Space to Ground 2. Thanks for the status. So copy that the toggle switch for ILU Bravo 1 is off OFF. Please keep that in that position, and we will perform steps 2 Alpha and 2 Bravo. And once we're ready for you to toggle switch on the ILU B1, we will let you know. And while we have you, can you move the CTB 5031 if you're able? It's blocking our view for the ILU A1, the camera.
I will move the CTB for you.
Copy. Thank you, Jack. Back scuba on Space to Ground 2. The view looks perfect, and we are ready for you to toggle switch on the ILU Bravo 1 on Step 3 Alpha.
Copies, I'm going to toggle on B1. Station, B1 toggle switch is on, and the light came on immediately.
Back scuba on Space to Ground 2. We also saw it from the camera views. That is perfect. Thank you very much. And with that, we are ready for you to step into step 4. And just a heads up, on this step, you will be turning off and then on the toggle switch with a short interval. The expected behavior of the ILU is that it will turn off due to a trip, which is the nominal function.
Okay, copy. So I'm going to make sure the dimmer is set to max, and then I'll toggle it off and back on in less than a half second, and I'll expect the light to not come back on.
Jack, that is a great copy, and we're ready.
Station, that's complete. I switched it off, back on. It's currently in an on, and it went off when I put it in the off position, and then as I switched it back to on, it flickered for just a moment of a second and did not come back on.
Jack, thank you very much. Just to double check, the toggle switch for ILU Bravo 1 is now on the on position, ON position. Is that correct?
Scuba station, Jack on 2. Sorry, I think I missed your last transmission.
Jack, this is Scuba on 2. No worries. Just to double check the toggle switch status, current toggle switch status of ILU Bravo 1.
Bravo 1, toggle switch is currently in the on position, and the light is not illuminated.
Copy that. That is expected. Great news. Thank you very much. Back to Scuba on Space to Ground 2. So with that, we can call Step 4 complete, and we are ready for Step 6. So please try the same thing for ILU Alpha 1.
Copy. I'm going to try the same thing on ILU Alpha 1. Station, I switched Alpha 1 off and then immediately back on. It flickered as I switched it back on, but did not come back on. So Alpha 1 is currently in the on position, and the light is not illuminated.
Jack, we copy, and we see the same signature of ILU Alpha 1, ILU Bravo 1, so thank you very much. And let us check the telemetry a little more.
Standing by.
Jack Scuba on Space Ground 2, thank you very much for your help. All of the steps went very smoothly today, so we can call this troubleshoot over. And after this, we will be resetting the trip status of the RPC and closing the RPC. So we will end our troubleshoot from the ground with the ILUs back on ON. Please feel free to use it as you would like. How copy?
Okay, I understand that troubleshooting all went well. Sounds like once you guys are done with your steps, we'll be able to use the lights as we see fit. And my question is, do you want me to leave Bravo 1 and Alpha 1 switches in on or off right now?
Jack, thank you for your question. Please leave both of the toggle switches in the on position, on ON, for now. And once we're complete today, please use the ILUs as you would like.
All right, all that sounds good. I'll leave the switches in the on, and once we hear that your troubleshooting is complete, then we'll be able to use the lights as we need. Great, thanks very much.
Copy all, thank you very much. Back Scuba on Space to Ground 2 for ILU status.
Access thing on 2.
We reset the trip status, so the ILUs Bravo 1 and Alpha 1 should be back on. You are free to use all of the lights as you like. And please note that if you turn off and on the toggle switch in a short interval, the lights will trip as expected. So just a note for your team.
Scuba from station, I can confirm the lights are on. They're looking great, and we will use them as we need. And we'll be careful not to cycle the switch too quick so we don't trip it. Thanks for the heads up and the advice, and it was a pleasure working with you.
Good copy. It was a great time working with you, too. Thank you, and we look forward to our departure ops next week.
Still, station on 2, Jack's looking for a go to power off ultrasound 3.
And Jack and his mustache are go for powering off ultrasound 3.
Nice. Jack and his mustache are going to power off ultrasound 3 now. Thanks for the help.
Station Houston on Space Ground 24, Chris, just saw you floating by. We uploaded or uplinked a message for you, and we can talk through it when you're available. You're welcome. Sounds good.
Houston, station on 2 for HTVX.
Houston's with you on 2.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on that stowage document. That all looks good. I did have one question, and maybe this will be clear as we go through the stow track, but right now in lab starboard 4, there is an additional 10.0 CTV, and that's reduced by water tanks 1, which contains one resupply tank serial number 11, and I just... Yeah, I wanted to figure out, it looks like serial number 11 ends up in the PMM end cone, not in a CTV, and I just wanted to double check that, and that maybe we could move that one out of the way before creating water tanks 5 as the third 10.0 in lab server 4.
Checking. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris regarding resupply tanks when able.
Houston, station on 2 for CQ measurements.
With you on 2.
Yeah, just wondering if it's okay to get started a little bit early on this. I'd like to try to have a little bit more time before the PAO event, so I'm ready to get started with that. Those IMV, or those block count measurements now, that works for you guys.
And Jessica, we have a couple ground steps. We'll be ready in about 5 minutes, and we'll let you know when you have a go.
Hey, awesome. I'll get everything I need, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and air measurement.
With you on 2.
All right, OSO has worked their magic, and so you are go to start your air measurement activity early.
Great, good news. Thanks, Pete.
Hey, Houston, this is Chris on 2. Apologize, down in HTVX, if I missed your answer.
Oh, hey, Chris. Yeah, I was actually talking to Jessica, but since you asked, once you take that RST serial number 11 out of the CTB and move it into PMM, the MPC-TB can go into the CTB pantry.
Copy that. Okay, yeah. All right, so we will go ahead and do that so we make space for the other 10.0 number 5. Is that correct?
Checking. Station on 2 for Chris.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
So your assessment is correct. That will make space for other 10.0 CTB.
Copy all. And maybe I'm just missing it, but I did not see a step-in stow track to move RST tank serial number 11 to the PMM end cone, but I saw that in the document that was uplinked. Is that the desired end configuration? Apologies if I'm just missing the step, but my plan was to just take that 10.0 out of starboard 4, take a resupply tank serial number 11, just bungee it somewhere in the PMM, and then deploy the other 10.0 water resupply tanks 5 and starboard 4, so we can start loading that up. Does that track? And if so, sorry, if you wouldn't mind letting me know what steps in stow track I should check off.
Okay, yeah, copy. ISO's taking a look at it, and I'll see if I can get you the step numbers to get credit for that.
And Houston Station on 2, just to be perfectly clear, also this 10.0-1011 also contains resupply tank 16, which I think also goes to the PMM.
Yes, Chris, that's correct. And I'll have words for you in just a second about the equivalent step numbers in stow track. Station on 2 for Chris. Station on 2 for Chris.
Chris is with you on 2.
All right. I think I have an answer for your stow track activity questions. I was looking at the wrong activity, and it turns out there's actually an RST relocate activity separate from the HTV stuff. And some of the RST serial numbers are in that activity, steps 2 and 3. And so that's probably where you'll get credit for the work that you're doing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it's just more about, since we got multiple people jumping between things, like I always hate doing something, and if we don't track it, then somebody else is trying to do the same thing over and over. So, cool. All right, that makes sense then why I couldn't find it, because I was like, we're supposed to put 10.0 in here, but there's no space for a 10.0 because there's already a 10.0. I'll go look in that other activity and check that out. Thank you.
Abby, sounds good. Yeah, it helps when we both look at the right ops products, I suppose. And speaking of ops products, we're thinking about doing a JSL router reboot or having you do a JSL router reboot over the upcoming LOS. But we're still talking, and I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that that would be coming.
Okay, copy. We're standing by. Let us know if you need to do that.
Station Houston on 2 for Jessica.
Pat.
Hey, you might have heard me mention to Chris that we were going to try to get a router reboot in here coming up in about 20 minutes at 1500. We wanted to give you a heads up that in your procedure, step 3.8 and 3.10, you record some airflow values. But if this corresponds with the router reboot, those values won't be recorded. So when you get to that step, we recommend you just write them down and then call them down to us when you have a minute.
Copy that. I'll call them down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Houston Station on 2 for resupply tanks.
Welcome back. What's up?
Hey, so I was just looking at the second RST relocate stow track just to make sure it all makes sense, and I think there's something I don't understand. So it looks like in this second RST relocate stow track, the end result is that it would still have 10.0 CTV resupply water tanks number 1, serial, so 10.0 serial number 1011 is still supposed to end up in Lab 1 S4 with 2 resupply tanks in it, and should not be back in the empty pantry. Is that correct? And then I just wanted to double check that, because I think Lab 1 S4, depending on how full those other 3 10.0s are, I don't think there's any space for anything else in there.
Copy, we're checking it. Station Houston on 2 for JSL reboot.
Houston, go ahead on 2.
All right, so we have the steps for the router 1 reboot when you're ready to copy.
All right, I've got my hands full. Do I have a couple minutes, or are we going to have an LOS momentarily?
We've got a few minutes till the LOS, so if you got your hands full, we can wait.
And Houston Station on 2, I'm ready to copy those steps.
All righty. So at 1500... we'd like you to perform POCBOOK 4, decimal 10, decimal 110, step 1. Pretty straightforward, but it will take down ops products for about 15 minutes. So if you've got StowTrack or Optimus or anything like that open, don't refresh the page and you'll still be able to use it. We're still working at the stowage stuff too, though, by the way. We'll get you an answer as soon as we can.
Copy that. It's 1500, 4 decimal 10 decimal 110, step 1 only, and I'll let everybody know that ops products will be down for up to 15 minutes.
Agreed. Thanks. And there's actually one more impact to the router reboot. We'll be down hardline EMERCOM to the Dragon for the same 15 minutes.
Copy that. Hardline EMERCOM to Dragon for same 15. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and your stowage question.
All right, on 2 for Chris.
All righty, sir. So there was a mistake in StowTrack, which is why we were all confused about it. But in step 4.02, that CTB should actually be named Water Tanks Number 5, Serial Number 13. We hope that clarifies where everything goes for you.
Can you say that again?
Certainly. So in line 4.02, in the RST relocate stow track activity, the final location has the wrong CTB in it, and so the actual final location will be CTB, 10.0 CTB, water tanks number 5, serial number 1013.
Copy that. Okay, so resupply tank 16 Mike and 17 both go into water tanks 5, not water tanks 1, and then I was in fact correct in putting 10.0 CTB 1011 back in the pantry. Is that good feedback?
Yes, sir, that's correct. Thank you for pairing with us on that. We were all scratching our heads.
Yeah, I was just confused because, like, there's no way they want me to have four 10.0 CTVs in a rack bay. That doesn't make any sense. So we were just scratching our heads trying to figure out how to do the choreography here to, because, yeah, temp stowing the 10.0s is not a, yeah, makes it, is a huge mess. So we're trying to just get everything into their end home positions as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure you were paying attention so you passed the test.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to get on that reboot, and then I'm going to get onto this resupply tank, Yerevan activity, and I'll be right on that.
Copy. Sounds good.
Send station 2, ASL router power cycled.
All right. Thank you. And we'll tag up with you in about 15 minutes here after this LOS.
Houston station 2 for most accounts.
Go ahead. With you on 2.
You're ready to copy. I've got 3 sets of 5 numbers each.
All right, we copy. Actually, the router looks like it came back, so if you want to put them and record them as per procedure, you could actually do that now as well. But we...
Okay, well, I'm all set up to read them to you. That would save me a minute if I just do that. That's okay with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're ready to copy.
Okay, it was per procedure VelociCalc 1001. The probe was 1022. And the measurements in high were 210, 210, 212, 211, 215.
Okay, we copy all.
In low, 154, 110, 124, 135, and 60.
All right, we got those.
And then in medium, 213, 152, 175, 182, 76.
All right, thank you for that. We copy all. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. And just out of curiosity, obviously the in high from the 5 different areas, they were pretty uniform, but they were a lot more erratic in low and medium. Are those kind of typical numbers, or is that what are those the numbers that you guys would expect?
Checking. So I also looked at numbers from a year ago and says that they're in family, so I think we're all good.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that procedure's complete. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very nice. Looking good, sir. In fact, we were just talking about your mustache.
Houston, station on 2 for Yerevan transfer.
Go ahead, with you on 2.
Yeah, Andre and I have Yerevan LID 1463, and we have... resupply tank, barcode 0026-0646, Mike.
All right, those are good numbers. So your go in 5.2, and in 6.3.1, safing is in place.
We go in 5.2, and 6.3.1, safing is in place. Houston station on 2, we are ready in step 7 for water transfer.
All right, copy. Give us about 30 seconds. All right, we've initiated the transfer, so you should hear the pump running. It should be running for the next 40 minutes. Copy that.
Copy 40 minutes.
Houston station, Sophia, for HDVX cargo.
Go ahead, with you on 2, Sophie.
For the location, I'm working on the steps 187, 88, 89, 90, 190. For the location, HTVX 1 Alpha 1, after I put 4 JSB, there is still some room for foam. Am I going to put some foam since we need to get rid of some?
Station on 2, back with you for the foam.
Go ahead.
So we talked to ISO, and actually we don't want to put foam in those locations. Once you get into the 200 line items, there's actually cushions that will take up that space instead.
All right, so I leave it with empty space, and I take the pictures with empty space for now.
Yeah, that is a good read. Thanks for checking.
Yeah, thanks to you.
The resupply foam question.
Resupply foam answer.
Yeah, so I had talked this over with ISO and Ethos a little bit, but you guys actually probably have a decent view of this, but we have this, I guess we're moving towards this new setup for resupplying Yerevans from resupply tanks instead of from the PWD. And I think the nominal plan is to keep resupply, use the resupply tanks in the lab, and, you know, have them set up there. One question we had was, you know, if we're doing this transfer twice a week or thereabouts, it seems to us it'd be a lot cleaner and neater to keep keep one of the resupply tanks out on lab set 4, but in one of the foam pieces that they came up in, just to kind of keep things contained, rather than stowing them and unstowing them from lab starboard 4 every time. And so we just wanted to check whether we could keep one of the foams that I guess is currently designated for going getting burnt up on HTVX and use that as sort of a mounting for a resupply tanks in the lab. What do you guys think?
Copy. Yeah, I mean, makes sense. We're talking it over, and we'll let you know.
Copy that. Thanks. We just wanted to get that sorted out before we had to stow them all in HTVX filled with JSVs for disposal. Huntsville Station on 2, Jessica swap complete for Merlin's 3 and 5.
We copy. Thanks, Chris.
Station on 2, just a reminder that the XPWD will be unavailable shortly, but the actual activity is going to slide about 30 minutes to the right, so that should start right during the PAO event. Wanted to give you a heads up. Russell's still talking the foam thing. Don't have a good answer for you yet, but if we don't get it back to you, we'll tag up in DPC about it.
Okay, yeah, copy all on that. I'll mark the XPWD as down, and yeah, appreciate the answer on the phone since I think we're getting to some of those steps for HTVX packet.
Copy all.
And Houston Station on 2, just a big picture question. The long-term plan is that we are going to keep this stack up of peristaltic pump plus our resupply tank connectors just all connected and stowed in this Russian Yerevan water hardware, CTP, is that correct?
Yep, that sounds good to us. Yeah, that is the plan, you said.
Copy all. We'll have to see. Yeah, it's, yeah, we'll have to see if it'll end up fitting in the CTP or not with the hoses, but, yeah, we'll take a look.
All right, and Chris, if you can't get all of...
Houston Station on 2 for PAO.
Okay, Chris, if you can't get all of this into the CTP, you can just bungee it off to the side, and Jessica, go ahead for PAO. Jessica, on 2 with you for the PAO.
Yeah, looking for scene and voice checks.
All right, back with you for the scene and voice checks. We are ready to do those. And a quick reminder from PAO that the event will be recorded from your camera.
I haven't pressed record yet, but I will after the scene and voice. And I didn't change any settings or anything on the camera from how we usually have it set up for recorded greetings. I just wanted to double check, is there anything specific in the settings that they want me to look out for to make sure we have the right setup and the right quality?
Nope, it is good as is.
Okay, sounds good. So you guys can see the frame right now. I don't actually have my feet in. Would you prefer that I come back a little bit with the camera so that my whole body's in, or what's the any preferences there?
No worries.
If I am wearing nice socks.
If you want to show the socks, we will certainly take that. Very nice. Very nice. So we are ready for this scene and voice check with or without the polka dot socks. All right, that looks good to us. That sounded good to us. Good voice.
Okay, I think I am going to back up the camera a little bit so I'm not cut off here, but I'll move it and then let me know if you still like it.
Copy.
So, Pete, I'll solicit your help for one thing. Oh, still not going to be. I have this Team Mini headband on for science right now, and I can only take it off for 30 minutes. I'm going to take it off for the interview, but I'm just going to take it off, like, right before the interview and stow it up here. But if we've got a 20-minute slot, if we go beyond that, and it starts to encroach in my 30 minutes, can you just give me an alarm and I'll put the headband back on?
Houston copies, we're talking to Huntsville.
Munich for this one. So I'm allowed to take it off for half an hour, just not more than half an hour.
All right, Jessica, for the headband, yeah, we'll do that. If you start to run long, I'll just call up the word headband to try to not interrupt the PAO event.
I think that'll work. This is, since it's being recorded anyway, obviously they're going to be editing it, so I don't think, you know, it's not like a live event.
Copy all.
And Pete, will we be starting on time? If so, then I will get ready and get the headband off and press record just before 4:20.
Yep, we are go for an on-time start, so that's like a minute and a half.
That sounds good. I'll get ready. Thanks.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
So this is Station. I'm ready for the event.
Fabian Wolf, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Station for a voice check.
Station, this is Fabian Wolf. How do you hear me?
Hello, Fabian. I've got you loud and clear. How me?
Perfect. So I can start. So, hi, Jessica. It's an honor to meet you. I hope you have a good time on ISS. Before I start with my questions, can you please briefly introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do? And how many days have you spent on ISS?
My name is Jessica Meir. I am a NASA astronaut, and this is my second mission on the International Space Station. On my first mission, I spent 205 days up here, and now I'm coming up to the two-week point, so 205 days plus almost 14.
Okay, thank you. So when the COVID-19 pandemic broke out on Earth, how did you experience this while living on ISS?
Well, just like for everybody all around the world, that was an incredibly interesting time, and that certainly wasn't an exception being up here on the ISS. When I launched to the International Space Station, it was September of 2019, so nobody really knew what COVID-19 was. It definitely wasn't a thing yet. Of course, the virus already existed a bit somewhere, but it certainly wasn't a worldwide phenomenon. We had really wasn't on anybody's radar at all. As we were on the International Space Station and the months that followed, that's when things started escalating more and more and more. And, of course, everybody remembers how it unfolded, spreading across the continents and across the entire planet. And that was really surreal to be witnessing from space. You know, we get news sources up here when we get things uplinked. We're not really live streaming news, so we don't get it quite as frequently. We're not as inundated with news like you are when you're back home listening to the radio on the way into work and putting on the evening news and that kind of thing. So we were getting snippets of it, just not in exactly the same way that we would on the ground. But it was really strange because we were still going about our normal day completely as, and Fabian, I think you've got a hot mic. I'm getting back. So you might want to shut off your mic in between questions because I'm hearing it from the speaker and you're probably going to get that on the audio as well. So I'll keep going on that. When we started hearing about what was happening back on Earth, it was really strange for us to fully comprehend because there were only three of us up here at the time when things started getting really bad. When it first started ramping up, there were still six of us on board, and three of our colleagues and friends, Luca Parmitano, Christina Cook, and Sasha Skvortsov, they left in February. When they got back, things were still, you know, they could still function a little bit normally for a few weeks. But then in March and April, things all around the world started getting really extreme, and we came back in April. So we were still on board watching that escalate and this virus come, this global pandemic, which we all know now and recognize so well. And we were the only three humans on the entire planet that were actually not susceptible to the virus at the time because, of course, we were up here isolated and safe on the International Space Station. And that felt really odd. To me, it kind of felt like the beginning of a really bad sci-fi movie where you've got these astronauts living on board on the space station and then suddenly, you know, a meteor hits Earth or something happens and wipes out the entire planet. And then, you know, those are the only three humans left that survived. I mean, we joked about that, but it was kind of surreal because it felt that way. And we would talk to our family, you know, we would talk to our friends, we would get more pieces of news. And we felt so strange to be witnessing it from up here and seeing this phenomenon that affected everybody on the entire planet. And that's something that we talk about a lot as astronauts. You talk about the overview effect and what it feels like to look at the planet from above. And one of the things that I often talk about with that is how interconnected everything is. When you look down at the planet and you see these continuous ocean masses, these continuous land masses, you see that we really are all connected, that we're one human. You know, we don't see these man-made borders that we've imposed upon ourselves. And you understand how interconnected everything on our planet is, including all of the humans. And this was a great example of that because it was affecting everybody on the planet. You know, astronauts have been on board for different big events, maybe back in their home countries, or witnessing 9/11. Ken Bowersox witnessed 9/11 from up here. Sergei Krikalev was a cosmonaut up on a space station at the time when the Soviet Union dissolved. So there have been people that have experienced really profound things on Earth from the vantage point of space. This was one, I think, of the only ones that I could think of that affected everybody on the planet. So it wasn't just one crew member's home nation or a family or that kind of thing. It was everybody on the planet. So it was really interesting for us to be observing from up here.
Thank you. If you could see me, you would see me smiling because I really like your answer. So I think what I would find interesting is, what do you think, what can we learn from your experience up there, especially because life on ISS involves a form of extreme social distancing anyhow. So what do you think can be learned down on Earth from that?
You know, that was one of the things that we thought a lot about at the time. And we, Drew Morgan and I, he was up here with me, my colleague and friend and classmate. He's an Army physician. So for him, it was even a little bit more of a strange kind of conglomeration of feelings, because he's a physician and he was up here unable to help his friends, his family, all of the people on Earth that needed help. And that was, I think, really difficult for him. But I strayed from the original question and now I can't remember what the actual original question was. What was it?
The actual question was, what do you think, what can we learn from your experience up there?
Yeah, so of course, as astronauts, we expect to be isolated. We are up here on the International Space Station. We go outside only if we have an important spacewalk to conduct in a spacesuit. So we really are confined and isolated here. But that is something that we completely expect when we come to space. We know that that's part of the mission, and so it's an expectation that we have before we get up here. As human beings, we don't have this kind of expectation in our society. So it's interesting. Although Drew and I had spent 7 months in isolation, 9 months for Drew, 7 months for me, in isolation on the International Space Station and confinement, I guess you'd say, when I came home, that's when I felt the extreme isolation. I found coming back home from COVID to be much more isolating than the International Space Station was. And I think part of that is just because of the expectations that you have going in. Up here, we know that's part of the mission. On Earth, that's just not built into our society. And so when Drew and I were up here, we actually recorded several videos and sent them down and tried to do like a little bit of outreach that was specific to COVID, because we actually had our own isolation strategies. We train these things at NASA. We know the things that astronauts need to do in order to keep their minds sharp and mentally healthy. So the things that we really emphasize are, number one, having a routine. I think a lot of people learned throughout the COVID pandemic how important it was to have that routine, to keep up with it, to still get out of bed and put some clothes on, because you have this psychological impact of all these things that you're doing, and then sticking to a routine really helps you psychologically. We do that up here. Everything that we do is strictly dictated by the ground. We really have a pretty formal routine that we follow day in and day out up here. One thing that's really important that we also emphasize is exercise. Exercise, as we know, is really important, not just for the body, but also for the mind. So exercising regularly certainly helps us up here. It's also very important just for our bones and muscle health, of course, as well. But I think that was something that we highlighted for everybody back home. You know, keep your routine going, keep exercising, and make sure that you're maintaining contact and communication with friends, with family, with loved ones. You know, we had this huge rise of virtual meetings and Zoom and all of these things that everybody started doing, but those things became really important because you needed that kind of human connection. And that's the same kind of thing that we do up here regularly. We have regular calls and video calls with our family, friends, our loved ones. Now the connectivity is actually a lot better than it was when I was up here last time. we can really do the equivalent of kind of a FaceTime with different software anytime that we have the right communication assets. So maintaining those things, I think those three things are the really important ones, the routine, the communication, and the exercise, and really just talking about things, open communication in general. I think that's really important for the mental health that is involved with living and working up here in the International Space Station, and the same thing was true during the COVID pandemic for everybody on the ground.
Do you remember a specific conversation you had these days?
You know, I do remember my conversations that I had with Drew, because it was, as I mentioned, there were six of us in the first couple months when things started escalating, but then Christina and Luca and Sasha left us in February. And so then it was just Drew and I and the American in the U.S., in the U.S. operating segment, as we call it, and then our commander, Oleg Skripochka, in the Russian segment. It was just the three of us. And Drew and I spent a lot of time sort of pontificating and philosophizing a little bit about it. And some of that is actually really well captured in other documentaries and video products, because we were filming what was called the ISS Experience at that time, a 3D immersive virtual reality experience called the ISS Experience by Felix and Paul. And part of what we did for that project was film kind of journal entries, where we would just set up the camera and we would just be talking to the camera. And Drew and I had several conversations about it. And when I saw ISS Experience for the first time a few years ago, and this was, you know, well after the initial filming, I heard some of those conversations that I was having with Drew, and it was really interesting because Drew was referring to it as like that COVID thing. Like, it wasn't even, you know, something that was part of our lexicon yet, because it was so early on. And it was really interesting to reflect on some of those early conversations where we were really just trying to wrap our heads around it. And one conversation that I remember specifically was toward the end of our mission, when Drew and I were getting ready to go back, Drew, Oleg, and I, and our replacements had come up. So we had another Soyuz come up, and our colleague, American NASA astronaut colleague Chris Cassidy, was on that flight. And he sat us down. Well, you know, you don't really sit anyone down in space, but he, you know, he looked at us and had a really serious look on his face and was telling us, you know, you guys, this, you really need to prepare yourself for going back to Earth, because this is, it's really different. You are absolutely going back to a different planet. I mean, this global pandemic has transformed everything. And, you know, he knew how disconnected we were from it, because we were just up here going through our normal routine. If we didn't know, we would have not, if somebody hadn't told us, we would never have known it even happened. I mean, on the ground, NASA really rose to the challenge and made it completely seamless for us. They had set up two different ground control rooms so that they didn't have people coming into contact with other people while they had a shift exchange, because they wanted to keep everybody safe on the ground. We didn't even know that they were doing that until weeks after it had already started, because the support that NASA and all of the other international partners were giving us was really seamless. So, you know, Chris knew, because he had witnessed it all on Earth before he launched, and he told us, you know, you really need to start thinking about this, because for you, this is going to be very sudden. You know, everybody on the ground had a long time, you know, they saw it happening, kind of emerging, affecting more and more people. They kind of warmed up to it and understood what was happening, whereas for us, we went from nothing to just being thrust back in April of 2020, which was really in the height of when things were really bad. It had spread all over the entire planet by then. We were still a ways away from having any vaccines or really any real understanding of it. So we arrived back at a crazy time.
Have you had a favorite spot? So what was your favorite spot on ISS these days?
Well, usually everyone's favorite spot is the windows, because we are so fortunate to have such an incredible view of our planet. And the cupola in particular, you know, you're surrounded by seven windows. So really in every direction you see the Earth, and it has a direct view right down to the Earth. So I think that was and still is one of my favorite points, because you're looking back at this precious blue gem, this incredibly fragile and special, unique, extraordinary planet that we have. And, you know, that even added more to it, because the Earth looked just as beautiful as it did always had before during the pandemic. You know, you couldn't see evidence of it from looking down from space, and it's kind of the irony there of what was happening, what a challenging time so many people, everybody really on the planet was having, and we would look down with this beautiful view and with no trace of it. You know, people asked if we could see, you know, what you could see, and one of the things that you can see is that, of course, you don't see the contrails, you don't see any evidence of airplanes, lots of air traffic in the skies. That obviously had died way down. And, you know, some of the city lights, of course, probably the density of lights had gone more into the suburban areas because people weren't really in the cities as much. So there were small things that I guess if you, you know, kind of compared to images before, after, and during, you could kind of see the effect there. But, yeah, the cupola is an incredibly special place.
Okay, you also were part of a very historic milestone, the first all-female spacewalk. Can you share what that experience was like?
Absolutely. For me, being part of the first all-female spacewalk with my colleague Christina Cook was, you know, it actually took us through a lot of different phases, I'd say. You know, at first, part of it was just us doing our job, right? So in the very beginning, we didn't really understand what all the hype was about. Whoop, I'm just going to get a little bit more. So the spacewalk. At first, Christina and I were kind of thinking, okay, we're just up here doing our jobs. We're fully trained to do spacewalks just like everybody else up here. So why are we making such a big deal of this? But only after the spacewalk did I really have time to reflect on it more and to understand the importance of what had transpired. And for me, you know, it really was about us going out the door and doing our job that day. And like I said, we had the same training, everybody on board. It could have been a combination of any of the crew members that were doing those spacewalks. It just so happened that it was two women that time. But after the spacewalk, when we started understanding how it had affected people, you know, there was this huge outpouring of enthusiasm and support, and all of these people were telling us how inspired they were. Not even just people that wanted to be astronauts or space enthusiasts, but really anybody that had a dream. And that's when I realized the importance of it, of playing that role of inspiring people and letting people realize that anything is possible, that if you work hard for it, you have a dream, it can come true. And the other big thing for me that really resonated the most loudly was for all of the generations of women and other minorities that had really pushed the boundaries. You know, for Christina and me that day, that was just us doing our job. It felt normal for us. The only reason why it felt normal for us was because of all of the work, the boundary pushers, the glass ceiling breakers that came before us to make it feel normal for us. So to me, the big deal about that spacewalk was that it was a triumph and a celebration for all of those women and other minorities that had broken those glass ceilings and allowed us to feel that way that day. It was really a time for them to be reveling in that and to be celebrating in all that they had done. And I'm very, I now, you know, when I look back on it, I am very proud that I had some role in that, in inspiring the future and also in paying tribute and homage really to all of these generations before me.
Okay, I've got one last quick question. I would like to ask you, is there anything you've learned about Earth that can only be understood from space? You have so many views on Earth, you probably learned a lot.
Yeah, what have we learned from space? You know, I think part of it for me is going back to that overview effect of when we think about what does it mean to look back on Earth from above. And it is incredibly profound. I can tell you that it definitely changes you as a person. And I wish all the time, you know, I say all the time, I wish that I could bring all the eyes of all the humans up here with me to get that appreciation, to look back at the planet from above. Because, you know, for me, it's kind of threefold. First, you see how fragile, how special, how extraordinary our planet is. You see this very thin, tenuous band of an atmosphere that is the only thing that is sustaining life, and it is very, very thin. It starts out a deep blue, and then as you go up in altitude, you can actually see with your own eyes from up here how it just dissolves into blackness as you get higher and higher in altitude. And this precious blue gem below you is so special in the void and the blackness of space. And I've always been an environmentalist, but even people who aren't come to space and it changes them because they understand how special our planet is and that we absolutely must protect it.
Yeah, I think we need to
of appreciation for our planet, for being one, and for our role in the grand scheme in the universe. And that's, I think, something that it's hard not to see when you look down on the Earth from above.
Okay, Jessica, thank you very much for your time. That was really a pleasure and a surreal experience down from Earth.
Okay, thank you so much. With that, we'll give you a little microgravity send-off. Thanks for the interview.
Have a good time. Bye-bye.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Station Sophie on 2 from Mercedes.
Go ahead on 2.
So I just prepared LabCam 1 as per the procedure, and I wanted to check with you if it's okay for you.
Yep, we are good with that.
And so do I have the go to start?
Yes, you are a go.
Thanks.
Houston, station on 2. Chris and Andre looking for go in 7.3 for the fluid transfer.
Yes, sir. You are go in 7.3 and in 10.1, saving is in place.
Copy, saving in place, 10.1. Houston, station on 2. In 10.6, the Russian compressor power cable is connected.
All right, we copy. Good config. Thank you. And, Chris, while we have you, can you go prod Jessica that it's been 30 minutes and she has to put the headband back on? Maybe just stand in node 2 and circle your head or something. Copy, thanks. And Jessica on 2.
You on 2?
Nice job with the PAO event. Really just calling you to acknowledge the cute bunny and panda story. We all thought that was very sweet down here.
Didn't realize you guys were still getting it as well. Yeah, they had some extra questions, so I thought since I was recording, I would just give it to them. I'm going to turn the camera off now, though, so sorry you can't look at my socks anymore, but I'll give you one more view of the bunny.
Copy, thanks. That is super sweet.
Houston, station on 2 for recycle RSTD NAV term stowage.
Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes to LOS.
Yeah, so Andre and I are looking at this setup here, and I mean, my understanding is that we're going to need to use this a couple times a week, so we want to minimize the amount of breakdown we do of it. We have a couple challenges here. One of them is that the stack-up of this ACTEX filter and microbial check valve, when we used it from the PWD, there was also a female-to-female adapter on the end of the microbial check valve. Without that, there's no cap for the microbial check valve, and so I was just wondering, we're trying to figure out, I guess, if we do disconnect it, we are going to want to cap all these connectors. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a good catch. We've got like a 15-minute-ish LOS coming up, so we will tag up with you about it once that is over. Good catch.
Okay, yeah, because I think the problem is with the way the stack-up is, unless we are going to have uncapped ends, I mean, it's going to be sort of, you know, longer than a CTD, basically, unless we have, it's basically just going to be longer than a CTD. So we're going to have to think about it.
Copy. Station Houston on 2 for Chris and cargo and RST.
And station on 2, Sophie listening.
Hey, Sophie, I didn't copy your last. Sorry, what's up?
No, I actually didn't copy your last. Did you ask someone on the Oh, okay. So I just see Chris now. You were calling him. Sorry, I didn't get the message. So just wanted to be sure.
No, that's cool. Thank you for checking.
And Houston, Chris is answering.
All right, thank you. So Sophie and I both didn't hear each other. So all right. So we wanted to have a conversation with you about the RST stowage situation. And then also some HTV cargo ops. We think we might need to rearrange some JSBs per certain lines in the stow track. But we'd like to talk about that one first because we don't have KU yet, and I want to be able to see the RST setup while we talk about it. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
All right. So so we're looking through stow track, and we think that there are actually 3 JSBs that were used that needed to be used later. So let me get StowTrack up, and I'll walk you through the lines we're talking about. And let me know when you're ready to copy.
I'm ready to copy.
All right, so in StowTrack, line 178, 187, and 189, we think the JSBs that were temp stowed per these instructions are actually intended for step numbers in the 200 range, And so we think you need to grab three different JSBs from steps in the 500 range and swap them out with these. Is that clear as mud?
Yeah, I think I understand. Yeah, so let me see. So 187, 178, and yeah, so these were a couple of the JSBs that are inside the 4.0 foam, so you need to swap them out for different ones.
Yeah, correct, and kudos to ISO for catching that. And we have KU, so I think once we get some video of the lab, we can talk about what to do with the RST situation.
Yeah, let me show you LabCam 1. I'll get that on the RST setup, and I'll also show you the little pump setup. And, I'm all ears on advice for the best way to stow that, because I think I'll show you the issue with the caps. And so, Houston, station on 2. So I can show you the situation. So the thinking was we've had a resupply tank sitting in a foam cushion right here for the past couple weeks, just because I unstowed it out of order from HDVX, and rather than restowing it, we just kind of temp stowed it here. I think the going in plan that we had was to basically every time we needed to do a water transfer, pull out a resupply tank from starboard 4. It's a little bit messy to do. I can kind of show you how starboard 4 is set up, but it's just an empty rack bay with a
cover.
Copy,
Chris.
We kind of need the rack front storage for camera.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We don't have video yet, so I don't want you to waste your effort.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah, let me know when you have video. And, Station, we've got LabCam 1 aimed at the setup. Is that the one you're routing?
Correct. We're just still getting the routing squared away on our end.
Houston, station on 2. I'm going to head into HDVX for a few moments. I'll be back in 5.
Sounds good. We'll be here. All right, Chris. We've got our video routed, and I can see you and the setup now.
Okay. Let me. I'm just going to pull the camera down and actually give you a little tour of, I think, what the situation is, and then you guys can give me your input.
Good.
Okay, the first thing I want to show you is the Lab 1 S4. So right now, Lab 1 S4, it's just an empty rack bay with a closeout on it. And the one thing you're not seeing here is, additionally, in addition to these cameras, we also have all our camcorders that are generally kind of temp stowed across the front of this rack bay. And then inside here is where we have three 10.0 CTVs that are full of resupply tanks.
All right, copy. Yep, they look like enormous CTVs full of resupply tanks.
So our thinking is, if the conops is that we're doing a water transfer to the Russian segment like two or maybe three times a week, it would be fairly inefficient every time to have to pull out and then temp strap down resupply tanks every time we want to do that. And so our proposal was that we have a resupply tank actually fully in foam over the past a couple weeks, sort of sitting on the WSS rack, and it's really not been in the way. It's kind of next to Cetus and out of the way. And so our thinking was that we could just take the active resupply tank, have it in foam, so have it actually like covered in foam, so put the top back on it and strap down there. It'd be pretty out of the way, and then whenever we need to transfer water to the cosmonauts, maybe even just cut a hole in the end so we can attach the adapters to it without even taking it out of the foam. Use that for, the two or three water transfers that we'll be able to get. And that might be a little bit more efficient with crew time.
All right, Chris. Yeah, we like the idea of using the clamshell to hold it in place. We have to talk about cutting a hole in the end of the foam, but, we'll get to that. And then, we see that everything else clearly does not fit into a 1.0 CTB. We'd like to keep it connected so that you don't have to, set it up and tear it down every time and cap those ends where there was no cap form. Do you think that would squeeze into like a 2.0, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, looking at this makes me think of the long 2.0s that we had on SpaceX 33. To try it at 2.0, the problem is that I guess in the system we had for PWD, there was a female adapter on the end of this that had caps. But this microbial check valve doesn't have any caps on it whatsoever, so anywhere we would disconnect it in the middle here, it just wouldn't be capable. I could try it at 2.0 and see if it'll fit.
But otherwise, we might need to go a little bit bigger. But let me grab a 2.0 and see what works.
All right, we copy. We could also suggest that you just, if there's a corner or someplace, you can just bungee the whole contraption down if it's out of your way, and then that might make the CTB situation moot. Or you could even get, like, another CTB and slide it over the hoses that are sticking out.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I was thinking just is that maybe we could just, you know, slide it under the rack closeout here on S4, and, you know, maybe just it would stay under that closeout. Because, I mean, my understanding is that basically we're going to be, you know, pulling every supply tank out of there, basically this is going to be our water resupply station for the foreseeable future.
All right, Chris, we're getting nods and agreements all around. So we think that's actually probably the best idea is just to slide it behind that closeout panel, and then we won't have to worry about it.
Sounds good. I will give that a shot and see how that works. And then talk about cutting out the foam. The foam actually already has, like, out at the around where the valves are. So I actually think it would be a super easy, super clean option.
All right, Chris, make it so. We like the foam cutout plan, and we like the close-up panel plan, and we'd like some photos, and that was a successful conversation. I didn't actually do anything. I just asked you what you wanted to do.
Totally agree. I love it. And then the only thing would be for ISO. So the current foam cushion that we have out here is the foam cushion from resupply tank number 24. And this is the foam cushion that would otherwise be required in steps 193.02 and 193.03 in Stotrac. So we would just want to figure out what to do for those steps, or whether we should, use a different foam cushion, or swap a different foam cushion into that step, or what makes sense.
Copy. And for those steps, that's actually just the JSB. Oh, sorry, Chris, that was confusing.
So we can just do step 193?
Yes.
All right, so for step 193, you can just put the JSB without the foam cushion. And
yes,
okay.
Exactly. I'm glad you knew what they were talking about, because I didn't. So. Houston on 2 for XPWD. No response required, Chris. We're going to go ahead and punt the XPWD unavailable thing until later, so you can still use it. Copy. Station Houston on 2 for Sophie. Understand you're probably on ARED right now. Can you please give us a call when you're off of the ARED, because we need to do a little bit more JSL troubleshooting and we don't want to interfere with your exercise. The tablet for ARED.
Okay, on 2, you are go to do your troubleshooting and the ARED is clear.
Copy, standby 1. Hey, Sophie, sorry to keep you waiting. I was I jumped the gun a little bit. We need to do another power cycle of some of the JSL routers, and that will interfere with the ARED tablet. So we just wanted to make sure that you were not using ARED while we did the lab power cycle, which will require crew actions, which we don't have the steps for yet. So that's what's going on. I appreciate your patience.
No worries at all. You are go to do the power cycle of JSL routers. No worries. And I have a topic for you for HTVX cargo ops.
Okay, we're here. What's going on with cargo ops?
So, when we had to put the dry trash JSB into this big foam water resupply tank, foamy things, the full dry trash JSB didn't fit into, they were like too full. So what we did, instead of, we had to remove some of the dry trash from the JSB and then take another JSB and then reuse it as another JSB. So we had to temp stow 3 new JSB, which became new dry trash JSB. The numbers are 5607, 5608, and 5603.
Right, copy all. So 5607, 08, and 03.
That's correct. And this is all in the crew notes of Stotrac. And those, because they became full of dry trash, we used them inside the steps to put them into the water resupply tank foams inside HCVX. So because it was, like,
Skytrash JSP that we used, like, in between, just re-sorting out the full JSP. Sorry, it's so difficult to explain.
No, it's all good. We're talking. It's okay.
So my main point is, in the end, inside those foam, those tank foams, inside HDVX, you will find in the crew notes 560, 07, 08, and 03 that are inside HDVX, and those are not in the 500 list.
Copy. We're talking it with ISO. All right, Sophie, back with you. We got all caught up. Okay, so we copy what you did. Sounds good. We want to give you a heads up that we're not sure when you get to the 500 number steps. We're not sure that the JSPs listed there will fit into HTV, but that's okay.
Okay, so I understand we don't undo what we did?
Right. With that, yeah, no undoing what you did.
Copy. Thanks.
Houston Station on 2 for a wanted poster.
Go ahead on 2.
I've got some good news for you. The fan pump separator wanted poster on my timeline right now was found in about 2 minutes. It was in the location it was supposed to be in, just not in the CTB it was supposed to be in. So it is now in that CTB 5232 in node 1 overhead for C2D2.
All right, that's excellent news. And because you called actually at exactly the same second I was calling you, would you like to do a router reboot for us?
I would love to do a router reboot for you.
Copy. You can't let Chris have all the fun. All right, so we're seeing high CPU usage on both of the lab routers. The reboot for the first router worked, but the CPU usage didn't drop. So we'd like to reboot the second one, and I have the procedure in steps when you're ready.
I'm ready to copy.
All right, so that's going to be in PocBook 4.10.110, step 2. And it only takes about 30 seconds, but we can expect the router to take about 15 minutes to come back.
4.10.110, step 2, do you happen to know the number of the cobalt brick to turn off, or I'm assuming I'll find it in the procedure?
Looks like you'll have to find it in the procedure. It doesn't have a serial number listed in my diagram.
No worries. Copy. I'll bring it up. Thanks.
Thank you. And unlike the first time, this will not affect ops products.
Okay, copy.
And station on 2 for Jessica. I actually do have that cobalt brick serial number if you still need it.
Awesome. Sure, I'll take it.
It's going to be serial number 1445.
445. Thanks. Houston station on 2 for JFL router.
Head with you on 2.
So router number 2 has been power cycled. Just FYI, the procedure says it's on deck 2. It's actually on deck 3.
Ah, copy that. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Houston, station on 2. Just for your SA, I think router 2 also took down our ops products just for SA.
Is it cut out for a second? What did you say?
Looks like our ops products at least went down as well with that router reboot, just to let you guys know that.
Copy. Was not expected, but appreciate the information. Station on 2 for Chris before the LOS had some ops products questions for you.
Station on 2 for HTV cargo.
With you on 2, but real quick before the LOS, can you guys clarify where your ops products dropped out? Because Pluto didn't see any dropouts. Is it like on an iPad or something?
An iPad, but I also checked out an SSD at the same time, and neither of them. I could just try to click on IPV, and it wouldn't come up, and then Chris was doing the same thing.
That's exciting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, copy. Thank you for the clarification. All right, what do you have for stowage?
So I am looking at line number 520. It tells us to pack. We can pack the JSP serial number 5810 in Columbus. So it's ESA JSP. It has barely anything in it. The other day, as part of the ESA consolidation activity, I started a new one, 5512, that's almost full. So can I take some of the items out of 5512 and put them in 5810 to load?
Talking it. All right, Jessica, yeah, we're good to have you guys transfer items from 5512 into 5810. But if you could please keep track of what those items are, ISO would appreciate that. And then my follow-up question is kind of tangential to this, but does that mean that your ops products are working again, or are you still not
able to get them.
But they are working again after it went, got turned back on. But yeah, it seemed to just be momentary with that flip switch.
Okay, copy. So they were basically off for the duration of the router being off, but then they came back.
Confirm.
Okay, yeah, that's weird. I don't know. And you've got a 20-minute LOS coming up. Pin on 2 for Chris and JSBs and whatnot.
Yeah, on 2 for JSBs.
All right. So nothing is simple because why not? So we're still talking the JSB situation. We might have more words for you on that about what JSBs on, what exactly goes where, and so we appreciate you just your patience with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to clarify my question, it's more that in a lot of the steps it says take a JSB, you know, from this list and put it in this location. And my question is really just we're almost out of that list of approved JSBs, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if we had a JSB, a location called out for putting a JSB in, that you know, what JSBs we should pull from. But I think most of the, at least the rest of the StowTrack that I've seen, calls out specific, like, high-mass JSBs. So I think we should be okay. We can follow up if we run into an issue later on where it calls out to put in any JSB and we don't have any unclaimed from that list.
Copy, I'll understand. And we'll have words for you at some point to just make sure we're all on the same page. But yes, understand your question. Absolutely.
Copy all. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Station on 2 for SSC swap.
Go ahead. We saw you messing with it. We were wondering when a call was on its way.
We are keeping you busy today. You're really earning that paycheck. Yeah, so I did the swap from 19 to 12. That was in Dragon. Brought 12 back here. It's plugged in, and there's a good power light on the back. It's getting power and a good blinking light on the Ethernet cable, but it will not turn on. If you probably saw, I tried to do like a long hold on the power button as well, and nothing's happened.
Copy, talking it. All right, Jessica, back with you. When you try to turn on that SSC, do the number lock or caps lock lights blink or flash in any particular pattern? That would indicate there might be an issue with the hardware.
Lights.
Okay, copy. You said no lights. Is that correct?
Confirm, no lights at all, except for, I mean, there is a light on the back, like I mentioned, like the power plug light, so it's like receiving power, but no lights on the keyboard.
Okay, copy, yeah.
Also, while I have you, I put in a rather lengthy crew note in my HTV cargo ops. Basically, you guys can let me know if you have any questions, or Munich can let me know, but in summary, it was what we talked about before, that the hardware JSB 5810 that was called out for HTV packing was almost empty, so I transferred the contents from my ESA trash consolidated activity, that stuff that was supposed to go in NG, from JSB 5612, and I put it into 5810, and I basically got almost all of that stuff in there, and I submitted that lengthy list as a crew note.
All right, we copy. We see it. Thank you.
Also put it as a note in the HTV cargo step, just so that we're all on the same page.
Copy. I think we might have some words coming to you about JSBs in general, but we copy the flight note.
We anxiously await those words.
Yes, so do I.
Station on 2 for SSC-12.
Go ahead for SSC-12.
She's back, baby. I just took the battery out, put it back in, and now it seems to be booting up.
That is great news.
Houston, this is Station on 2. Did you want to talk some stowage?
Indeed we did, but because, as I just admitted to the flight, I don't really know what I'm talking about with all the stowage, we're going to hand you off to CJ, who is our ISO OJT, and he's going to walk you through some questions and make sure everything's in the right config. And he's not enabled yet, so hang on one second.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Pete. And CJ, looking forward.
Yeah, no, I jumped the gun here. CJ's not enabled yet. In the meantime, though, Huntsville has a topic for you, and then we'll come back to CJ.
All right, Huntsville, we are standing by.
Hey, my favorite crew. I had fever of missing out. Is it fever of missing out? Failure of missing out? So I just wanted to let you know that we need a little power check on our Mochi. That is that we can't connect to the box. So at Gym Forward 7, there's going to be a smaller Mochi box. And flip the power switch off. Wait 15 seconds, flip it back on, and then let us know the status of the LED display.
copy that. Gem forward 7, it'll be one of these smaller mochi boxes, and switch the power off, 15 seconds, power on, and let you know what we see.
You got it.
Awesome. Thank you very much to our favorite Huntsville Control Center.
We really like that one.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. I think we have ISO enabled now. So when you're finished doing the troubleshooting, if you can give CJ a call, we'll walk you through the questions.
Copy that. Jack is just off doing the mochi troubleshooting, so probably be another 30 seconds, and then we'll give you a call right back.
At Huntsville Station, Jack on 2 for mochi.
I knew you wanted to talk to me, Jack. Go.
Fly float all the way down here. There's two boxes here. One's labeled Mochi Power Vacuum Supply, and one is looks like it's a Mochi microscope. I just want to make sure you want me to, which one you want me to switch off.
Yeah, it's the power vacuum supply, Jack.
Okay, power cycle completes as the Mochi was powering back on. Before I shut it down, all 8 of the Mochi diagnostic strip lights were green. After it's powered back up, numbers 1, 5, and 6 started off as red. Everything else was green. 5 turned to green first, and then 6 turned to green. The number 1 is, it just turned green. So the number 1 just turned green. So now all 8 of the diagnostic strip lights are green. What else can I help you with?
That is great information, great config. Thank you, Jack. You got all the lights green. That's what we need. So have a great weekend.
All right, perfect. You guys have a great weekend, too.
And station on 2, CJ's enabled now. So if you want to give him a call and start talking the stowage stuff.
And CJ, we are with you on 2, ready to talk some stowage.
Hey, Chris. Chris, how's it going? Pleasure to be talking to you guys today. Thank you for your time.
Likewise, CJ, and thanks for all the help with all the stowage. You know, it's a whole lot, so we really appreciate everything you guys are doing, especially with, you know, getting all these vehicles gone in such short succession. So thank you guys for that.
No, most definitely. Most definitely. It's been a week. It's I'm OJTing this week, and I'd say this is probably the greatest Friday of my life right now, to be honest.
I love it. I'm super glad we got a chance to chat with you on it.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so let's get into some stowage. I have a couple questions for you when you're ready.
We are ready to copy.
Okay. So I wanted to confirm that JSB 5810 is not on the vehicle. This was the JSB that was consolidated with some ESA items from a JSB that was going to be trashed. We're going to trash this JSB at a later date, so just wanted to make sure that that's not on the vehicle at this point.
Stand by one. We're just checking. Okay. So, CA10 is on the vehicle, and then, it's really temp stowed on the vehicle, so we can untemp stow it from the vehicle.
Affirm, yes, that JSB can be removed, and it can be replaced with any of the JSBs in the 500 series that are still available.
Copy that. And just to confirm, we're showing on step 520 that 5810 is in the 500 series. And I think that's our last one that we have in the 500 series. That was fully ready, I think.
So this JSB was approved to go on the vehicle until we ended up putting that ESA trash into it. So just for program's sake, we just gonna wanna go ahead and take it off the vehicle at this point.
Copy all. And we will do that.
Great. Thank you. And I am seeing that we have a couple more steps, 524 to the end. It's only about 3 steps where there are additional JSBs that can be loaded onto the vehicle.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, those are just our current in-use ones that we'll probably fill up next week, but we'll have to see. They may not be fully full.
Okay, great, perfect. Thanks for that. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk was the step 195 series. These were the steps where we were taking two 4.0s out of PMM and replacing them with another two, or out of the airlock and placing them with two other CTBs. And we wanted to just confirm that the locations that are given in StowTrack is what's reflected on board.
Yeah, so right now, just because of the order of things and the so and because we did all these resupply tanks and there's two 10.0s back there now, that so I put in a crew comment that right now the 4.0 5159 just because of the order of things that ended up on deck 3 as opposed to deck 4 of PMM. Otherwise, everything else is as in StowTrack.
ISO copies. That's perfect. Great. Thank you. Well, again, that was all I had.
No worries. And I was just going to say, we have a little reorganization. Just because of the order we did things, we kind of stowed a bunch of stuff, but then we made some holes in the back of the PMM end cone. So I think at some point we want to do just a short, like, you know, the things that we pulled out of the end cone now that have left holes, we want to just reorganize and get stuff so that we're, you know, efficiently and fully using that space. So I do think at some point it'd be nice to just have a real short task to move some of those bags, like from deck 3 or deck 4, like, and just fill in the holes in the end cone that we made pulling those 4.0s out.
Okay, yeah, we can do that for sure. We got our team, we'll have them do something in the near future so we can get you guys in a good config on board.
Awesome. Thank you. Really appreciate it, and really appreciate you helping us through these. It's a lot of complexity in getting these vehicles loaded, so really appreciate it.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's a lot for us down here too. So again, we appreciate all your hard work, and then again, thank you for, you know, giving me this opportunity to talk to you guys today. So if you guys don't have anything for me, I think I'm good on the call.
Awesome. Thank you so much, CJ. Hope you have an awesome weekend, and pass our thanks back to the whole rest of the ISO team for all the hard work they're putting in.
Most definitely. Thanks again, Chris.
Okay, have a great weekend. And thanks to everybody in Houston.
And to you too, guys. Thanks for all your help today, and we'll see you on Monday.
See you on Monday.